Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, your number to call. Mikey B, Pete the Body, AB with your update. Says we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. And coming up later on this hour, we're going to talk to Bobby Wilder, Old Dominion football head coach, coming your way at 7:25 a.m. Eastern time, 4:25 Pacific, as ODU pulled off an absolute stunner this past weekend as they defeated Virginia Tech. So looking forward to chatting with Coach Wilder coming your way in a little more than 20 minutes from now following AB's update
later
on. Caught
the fourth quarter of that game, my friend. There was a lot of college football on. I knew you were
a lot of college football.
I actually caught the fourth quarter. Everybody was buzzing about that, so it was crazy what happened. I'm looking forward to talking to Coach.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good conversation, and certainly to the victor go the spoils. But we kick off this hour. Let's get to a little pigskin pile up.
Pile up city.
It's now time for the pigskin pile up. Taz and Moose circle the wagons around the NFL.
Cringe every time I hear that.
That's it. Let's start in Seattle. Mentioned it earlier. Earl Thomas, the Seahawks safety, who obviously is not a happy camper up in Seattle.
Right.
Only three starters left. You saw him having words with, and kind words, with Jason Garrett, the Cowboys coach, before their game up in Seattle this past weekend. And the Cowboys were one of the teams that gave Seattle a call, interested in Thomas. Thomas has openly flirted with the Cowboys and did last year and the offseason, come get me. But, not practicing during the course of the week and playing during game days, wants to try and preserve his body. If I'm the Seattle Seahawks, if I have Earl Thomas on the field, I'm a better defense. I think he has a great understanding of what he needs to do to be successful. I guess the big question is, how do you handle Earl Thomas? And I think at this stage, talent reigns supreme. You want to have Earl Thomas on the football field. So if he needs, I don't need to see him necessarily on the field every single day in practice. I know what Thomas is as a player. Very similar in nature where you look at Aaron Rodgers at Green Bay. Now, due to injury, this is not injury. Rodgers not practicing all week, practicing once a week for the Packers with that left knee injury. Taz, I have no issues with the Seattle Seahawks and with Earl Thomas handling it the way he's handling it right now.
Yeah, no, it's all good to me. I mean, I know there's a plethora of reports, and you've saw them also, that the Chiefs could be an excellent suitor for a guy like Earl Thomas. That could happen, which they could use that help defensively, Moosh, you know what I'm saying? The Chiefs.
So they could use a lot of help defensively.
Yeah, they really do need the help. So, we'll see what happens. No, but I don't have a problem with the Seahawks and with Earl Thomas and stuff like that. He's a great player, though, so we'll see what happens.
The roughing the passer penalty in the National Football League continues to get more and more burn each and every week, whether it be Clay Matthews, whether it be the hits last night. We saw the Ben Roethlisberger play. I don't think it's going away anytime soon. First and foremost, let's hear from Big Ben talking about the penalty.
You know what? I don't want to criticize officiating, especially when you're talking about a penalty that helps the quarterback out. But I was surprised with the first one. The second one I thought was legit. He hit me in the helmet. It was kind of like hearing that loud ring when your helmet gets hit. There sure are a lot of them. I can't imagine the fans at home are enjoying it too much.
He touched your helmet, Big Ben. He didn't hit you in the helmet.
There was no old school 70s head slap.
It wasn't like Deacon Jones. Yeah, no!
Right.
Slapped you upside your head.
Yes.
That wasn't what happened. No. You know what I'm saying? But listen, man, to what we were saying earlier, Moose, there needs to be consistency. That's all fans want, consistency. And don't make it soft, like Clay Matthews said after the game on Sunday. Okay, the Packers, great defensive player. Don't turn this thing into a soft thing. But like you said earlier in this program, Moose, they're not changing nothing right now, the NFL.
It's they're not. They're standing. Right. They're staying strong, and they're not going to change anything. Here's the Dolphins head coach, Adam Gase. We mentioned it last hour. William Hayes, torn ACL, suffers it, tried to avoid a penalty letting up. Here's the Dolphins head coach.
William Hayes will be out for the season. He tore his ACL on that sack. He was trying to not put body weight on the quarterback, so his foot got caught in the ground. I mean, it hurts. I mean, he's one of our leaders, probably best guys in the locker room, best run defender. I mean, that's going to be a tough one for us to swallow.
Especially when they're getting set to take on the New England Patriots, and that's the problem you have. The issue is there's no – we talked to Diapoulos yesterday, former official on this very program, where you've got to let football players be football players, and he's dead on correct. The problem, the issue is, I think the NFL is in too deep here, Taz, to where now to go do an about-face, I think would be a problem for the NFL. They might do one after this season. I think for the rest of this year, I think it's going to be called the way it's been called. And you're going to have to adapt and adjust to it.
Like I said, I agree with you on that, and I think you said that very well early, and you're right. In this show here, and the thing is, like I've been saying, and I hope I don't continue to be right this year, and I think I'm going to be, unfortunately, you're going to see more of this happen, unfortunately, where players, defensive players, are trying to either slow down their hit, or they're hitting through the guy's body, or landing on a guy, and you're going to get guys getting injured, like we saw here with the Dolphins. You're going to get this more, and I hope I'm wrong. I swear to you on anything, whatever you believe in, I swear, I hope I'm wrong on that. I'm not wishing that on any player. I'm really not. But I'm telling you, as a former athlete, when you try to stop your body weight, your momentum, as you're going full throttle, something's going to give, and it's going to be a tendon or a ligament or your joint's going to get – it's going to happen. It's got to happen, and that's what we saw what happened here with the Dolphins. It's very sad. It sucks.
Here is the Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady, on the new rules last night, Westwood One.
When I started playing in 2000, I mean, I loved that style of play, and I loved people that, could make hits, and, one of the greatest players I ever played against, Ray Lewis. I mean, you didn't throw the ball to the middle of the field because he was going to tackle him, and when he hit him, they were probably going to be knocked out of the game. And that took away an entire portion of the field. And now I think football has turned into such a space game. And you're trying to find space because, a lot of the contact plays are getting called as penalties. So it definitely has changed since I came in the league. And, I'm all for player safety. But at the same time, I'm all for a great physical, tough sport because that's what this game's all about. That's why people love it. That's why I love playing too.
Well, he's right, but it's easy to say you missed those hits when you weren't the guy that was going across the middle when Ray Lewis was coming to deplete you and destroy you. But Brady took his share of hits. I'm not saying that, but as a standing target, as a drop back quarterback, a little different. But I'm taking out of context what he said. I get what he's saying, and I agree with what he's saying.
Yeah.
I get it.
The game has changed. And Brady didn't say it. Kelly Matthews did it the day before. The game's getting soft. And we chatted about it yesterday a little bit as well. The game has changed. The physicality, they're trying to end a lot of the barbaric physicality. And we're all in favor of player safety. The question is, when do you take it too far to where you negatively affect the game? Where you start to turn off the base fans, where they start to turn off and decide, I don't want to watch this because it's frustrating, because I know what just the same thing with a catch. We all know what a catch is. They broke it down to a point where it was frustrating to watch football. Now it's frustrating to watch football because they've analyzed and broke it down of what a hit and a legal hit is to an extent is you're watching the plays that they're calling, I get the slap to the helmet. The plays that they're calling as being illegal hits should not be illegal hits.
No, I know that, and I agree. Here's the thing, though. This is what I want to say, though. So I might have a little bit different narrative than a lot of people on this. I got to tell you the truth, Moose. No matter what they do, I don't think that. I mean, I do think they're turning away some fans, but as a whole, football fans are going to watch it. No matter how soft or how much they change the rules, fans are going to watch this. Men and women are going to keep gambling and betting on it. People are still, their ratings are still going to be excellent.
The ratings have gone down.
Okay, well, they've gone down. You think because of all the rule stuff?
No, I'm not saying it's just the rules.
No, I'm asking your opinion.
I'm not saying it's a. It's just the rules. I think it's a compilation of a number of different things. I also think it's the lack of connection to millennials. I think it's cord cutters.
That's true.
I think it's finding other ways of entertainment. I think it's a case of where people don't want to sit there and invest 11, 12 hours on a football Sunday.
Bingo.
So
right.
There's, but I do think the rules come into play. I do think that. I think it's still the best television sport out there.
Me too.
But they are not, it's not like the ratings are getting better, Taz. The ratings, even if it's a small percentage, there has still been a drop-off in the ratings.
And I think the reason...
They're still great, and there's just been a drop-off.
You touched on it there. It's these long games. I'm the type of guy, and I get the feeling you are too, we've never watched the game together, that you'll watch a full game, as
probably
will I.
Never will.
You won't?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, dude, you're serious? Because I'm like, no way, you watch full game. I know you
do. No, I said, you said, well, we've never watched a game together. I said, we probably never will.
You probably never will.
You didn't pick up.
No, we're always
like,
show prep.
You're like, I go, I'll come on over, Taz.
Constantly show prep. Well, yeah, I got to have it. Don't invite. There's a whole process involved.
I'm sorry to break up your
rant. That's okay, my rant. No, here's the thing. Listen, man, I really believe, okay, ratings are down. It's because people are pulling in content differently now. They're not watching TV for the most. Like you said, the younger fan base, they're looking, they're pulling in on Twitter or Instagram. People watch the Red Zone channel. They're just watching highlights of what's going on in the Red Zone. They just want to see scoring plays. But here's my point, this long-winded point, is that football fans are always going to watch football. And it's just like wrestling. In pro wrestling, I've witnessed wrestling fans cry, complain, stomp their feet, angry at the WWE for how matches, how they're doing storylines and they suck, or this character building is horrible, but they still watch. And WWE knows they're still going to watch. Same thing, in my opinion, with real football fans, they're going to pull in the NFL.
That's what I think. I think the base core NFL fans,
right,
and there's a lot of them.
They're
going to be there, but I also think some people get frustrated by it. So,
you're right.
Taz, you don't want the rules. You want the play on the field, be the talk of the conversation. You don't want the rules, the rule book, deciphering the rule book. How do they call that to constantly be the talk and the conversation? And I feel like that's the way it's been in the NFL.
Yeah.
And for what you and I do selfishly, it gets frustrating.
It does.
I don't want to talk about quarterback hits. I don't want to talk, was that a catch? Did the ball move? Oh, I saw the laces ruffle a little bit. Did that hit the turf? How'd they call it? It gets frustrating to watch because I want to talk about the games. I want to talk about Vance McDonald embarrassing Conte last night.
Conte
was an unbelievable play.
Conte,
that's what you want to talk about.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. You don't want to sit there and dissect, well, let me see. Did Clay Matthews put that amount of weight on a quarterback's body on that sack? Well, let's see. Let's rewind it. Let's watch it. That's annoying.
Yeah.
That's not what football is. You know, I grew up a Jet fan. And I watched the New York Sack Exchange. I watched Abdul Salam. Joe Klecko was my favorite. You know, Monty Lyons, Mark Gastel. I watched these guys destroy Dan Marino. Hit Dan Marino. And Dan Marino still won the game.
The
Dolphins. I remember all this. And I wasn't sitting there saying, oh, Moose, did Klecko? I don't know. Did Klecko put too much weight on Marino when he landed?
Was that 60% of his body weight or 75%?
I know, really. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't think that stuff.
I agree with you. I agree with you. It's frustrating.
You're a Redskin fan. What's his name? The great defensive.
Dexter Manley.
Manley. The guy
Charles
was an animal.
Mann.
He was an animal. Charles Mann, another guy. Those guys were great players.
72 and 71, respectively.
Man, when Dexter Manley hit a dude, you wasn't worried about percentages of body weight.
No question about it. And Charles Mann was also a guy that was very, very underrated.
Stud.
Was a great player, too.
Let's like a model. Didn't look like a model.
He's a good-looking man.
Very good-looking man.
Like a cut like from a piece of granite as well.
Yeah.
Tall, lean, attractive individual.
Yeah.
All right, out to San Francisco we go. Here's the 49ers head coach, Kyle Shanahan, talking about the loss of his quarterback.
Just as everyone would expect, you know, Jimmy was really excited about this year, and we were really excited to go through it with him and got to go through a few games. But, you know, I know he was very disappointed. I know it was hard from last night. It was hard today. And it'll be hard over these next few weeks. But Jimmy's a tough person. He'll bounce back from this, and he'll be ready to go next year.
Yeah, unfortunately for all of us.
I think the
49ers have got 4 or 5 primetime games the rest of the way. That's a problem.
God.
That's
Jiminy
a problem.
Crickets.
With C.J. Beathard at quarterback.
Oh, Lordy B.
You feel terrible for Garoppolo. How about this? Here's Justin Houston saying that, Jimmy G needed to be smarter.
I think that was his fault. as a quarterback, you should step out of bounds. It's only an inch. That inch wouldn't have made a difference. You got the yards you need, you step out of bounds. You got to be smart and think about your team.
I said this yesterday, Moose. I hate to be a
well, we both, yeah, we both, I mean, agreed.
Jimmy,
yeah.
G, I don't know what the hell he was thinking.
Well, he's trying to cut up field, trying to make the play, trying to do too much. But Taz, as a competitor, isn't that easier said than done? Are you thinking about tearing your ACL? It wasn't as drastic a movement when you look at it. It was a plant and pivot, and you saw the knee give way to where he immediately lifted up. He's not wrong. Houston's not wrong. You got to just run out of bounds.
Here's the thing with the Jimmy G play. The name escapes me of the D-back from number 20, I think he was. Regardless, the angle that Jimmy G was cutting back into the field of play, the defensive player had the angle. He was right there.
He was right there.
To body the guy up. He just bodied Jimmy G up, and that's what it was. I mean, I don't know what – it was not smart what Jimmy G did.
He did, but he hurt his knee before that hit. So he made the cut. And
he hurt his knee on the cut.
He hurt his knee on the cut, okay. Not on the hit. So okay. If you watch the replay, he
Steve Nelson, by the way, is the defensive back. Steve
there
Nelson.
You go. He plants, and then the knee starts to lift up, Taz, and then he gets absolutely pulverized by the defensive back to where you and I – when I initially watched it – I thought it was a concussion.
Yeah, me too.
I thought maybe it was the shoulder.
Yeah.
Knocked the air out. I don't know what it was. I wasn't looking at his feet. I wasn't looking at his legs. I didn't think it was the knee injury. And then all of a sudden, he's getting carted off the field. So,
yeah.
It did. If you watch the play, right when he plants and tries to cut it up field or gain an extra inch or a half yard, whatever it might be, you see the knee give way.
Horrible. I feel bad for him. He's
in excruciating pain.
Yeah, it just sucks. I mean, Jimmy G, and like we said yesterday, so many 49er fans calling the show during the offseason and just boasting and couldn't wait and bragging. 49ers, Jimmy G, we're going to be great in the Bay Area. Bah, bah, bah. I know, you guys, yeah, but no more.
Now, speaking of quarterbacks, two final stops before we head to break. Number one, to Cleveland. It's official that Baker Mayfield is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. And to Arizona we go. And the Cardinals have named Josh Rosen their starting quarterback.
Good job.
Moving
Good job.
Forward as well. So there's really no other choice. I mean, Bradford, we've said it before. I don't know how many times he's been a bank robber in the National Football League. Sam Bradford has set up generations of his family for accomplishing next to nothing as an NFL quarterback. God bless him. I mean, nobody's done it better. Nobody has done it absolutely better than Sam Bradford. He maximizes his value. People buy in. He gets paid left and right, and he's a terrible quarterback because people all of a sudden look at what he was at Oklahoma or how he does in 7-7.
He was great at Oklahoma.
Oh, it's fantastic.
He was
awesome. He's a smart guy.
I know he is.
But it's the right decisions. Rosen's got to start in Arizona. That team's going nowhere fast. They're 0-3. Looked better against Chicago, and Mayfield looked like an absolute stud against the Jets last Thursday night.
Oh, my God, unbelievable. I got to tell you, this Rosen for the Cards, he's got it. The little bit I saw him play Sunday, yeah, he did throw two interceptions, I know that. But before that first interception, he had several completions, and they brought the kid in. We said this yesterday, Moose. They brought
Very
the kid in the game.
Spot.
It's a horrible spot to
Losing,
brought him in.
Here's Khalil Mack and the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck, kid. Go get the Bears. Go get him! The kid was like a deer in the headlights, and he nailed several hard completions. Throws a hard ball. I'm telling you, let him work with the ones this week.
I think he's going to be good.
Well.
I think he's a really talented kid.
He is, man. He's good.
The question I've never...
He's rich, too, you know. He's very wealthy.
Yes, he is. Family is very wealthy. I don't doubt Rosen's talent. The one thing I doubt is Rosen personality-wise. And as long as he is fully committed, made sure to make it perfectly clear to everyone that he was fully committed to being an NFL quarterback, then I think Rosen's got an opportunity to be great in Arizona. The early returns... Listen to what Patrick Peterson had to say early on in camp. He said he's the real deal. I have no issues with Rosen. I think Mayfield is going to be great for the Cleveland Browns,
buddy. Come on.
And for the National Football League. He's going to be absolutely fantastic.
And the Browns got the Raiders in Oakland this week, so Mayfield's going to go to Oakland. And then the Rosen's home, the Cardinals are hosting the Seahawks. So both should be pretty good games. But yeah, I'm looking forward to definitely Mayfield. I mean, everybody's buying in. He's the hot topic.
Anytime you have new quarterbacks starting, Taz, it's
exciting.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Because it's a changing of the guard. It's new times.
Josh Allen's the best. Come on.
No doubt.
Josh Allen.
Screw him.
He's the Bills, the domination, the Vikings. We won it.
Right.
We won.
You put a request in for Josh Allen.
Yeah, we got shut down. But if I wanted a lanyard and a wallet with a Bills logo on it, they'd send me
that. With the Bills.
I thought I had connections, too.
Mikey B just told me, Josh Allen won't be joining us, but they're going to send Taz a pair of underwear. Bills underwear.
Red and blue.
There you go.
So we said to Mikey B, can you see if they can get Vontae Davis's number to us, at least? I mean, so that should be interesting.
Mikey B's face lit up. Yeah, I'll go get him.
Yeah, I'll get him. Yeah. I want to see if the Lehigh volleyball coach is available first.
No, stop. We're bigger than that.
I know we are. Must be gigantic.
Bobby Wilder,
yeah.
Old Dominion football coach, is going to join us next. One of the stunners of this past weekend, College Football Saturday, was their victory over Virginia Tech. Coach will join Taz and myself next right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Hit the guest line right now because one of the great storylines this past weekend in college football was the victory by Old Dominion and over Vatek, and their football coach Bobby Wilder joins us now. Hey, Coach, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Oh, you got it. Great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you got it. Pleasure's all ours.
Yes, sir. Coach. Yes,
it
sir. Deal?
When that game was unfolding, well, first and foremost, going into it. You know, did you feel like you had a chance? I mean, what was your vibe? I understand you're always optimistic, but you know, what was the vibe and tenor from your mentality going into that game against Vatek?
Well, the first thing I can say, guys, is none of this is going to make sense on paper, but we went into it a week ago not feeling very good about ourselves. Last Sunday, we had our team meeting, and I explained to the players what I thought was the anatomy of an upset, how it happens. And number one, it's got to start with passion for what you're doing. And we talked about the fact that Virginia Tech is the program in Virginia. We don't have professional sports here. So Virginia Tech football is at the top of the mountain. And if we could find a way to beat them, that they would go down in history as we're only 10 years old as a program. We're brand new, but the first team to beat a Power 5, to beat a ranked opponent, and to knock off Virginia Tech. And when they came back here with their families 20 years from now, they could tell that story to their kids. So that got some real energy going in the room. And then we had to put together a game plan that gave us a shot, and that was taking shots downfield against man coverage, different looks against their RPO, hanging in on special teams. Then we had this really good week of practice, and then the next part of the anatomy was something good has to happen early, which did. We stayed in the game. We needed to be close at halftime. It was 14-14. And then the last thing was, guys, if we've got a shot in the fourth quarter, let's just cut it loose, because at that point we're going to feel like we can do it and there's going to be doubt on the other side. And we were only down 28-21 going into fourth, and, man, we cut it loose.
Oh, you did.
Quarter.
Coach, I got to tell you, I mean, just I never met you, never talked to you, but you sound like a guy who is very good at inspiring young men. So you obviously did that, and you got your team, your Old Dominion squad, to buy in. I got to ask you about your awesome quarterback, La Russa. You know, the kid threw for almost 500 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, talk a little bit about him.
Yeah, that was just an amazing performance. And I've played quarterback growing up. I've coached it my whole life. And the one thing I've learned in 30 years of coaching about being around quarterbacks is there are times where a quarterback's right hand just appears to be on fire. Like there's nothing that quarterback can't do wrong. And in this game plan, because a Bud Foster defense is blitz, a lot of man coverage, well, we have 2 fifth-year senior wideouts that are both NFL prospects in Jonathan Duhart and Travis Fulgham. They're both 6'3", 210 pounds. So we packed it in and run formations, put those two on the outside, and we were throwing deep balls and verticals to them against a couple young corners for Tech. And even though their corners were in good position on most of the throws, it looked like 30-yard handoffs. He was putting the ball in money spots, and those guys were going up and making incredible catches. And as you guys know, with young people, once you get some confidence going, look out.
Yep.
Yeah, look out is right. And speak to the receivers a little bit, because they were absolutely fantastic. Memory doesn't serve me. Who was the which receiver made the one-handed catch in the end zone over
Peoples,
the shoulder?
Was that Peoples?
That was Duhart. Jonathan Duhart, who's been leading Conference USA in receiving, even though we haven't been performing well as a team. He's been an All-American type player. Duhart went 9 catches, 142 yards, 3 touchdowns. 3 touchdowns.
Spectacular. Yeah. Tremendous.
Fulgham went 9 catches, 188 yards, and a touchdown. And they just both were making incredible catches. We had 10 pass plays in this game between 20 and 50 yards. And we threw for 495 yards. And we just kept making those big-time throws and catches that you've got to make if you're going to pull an upset of this magnitude.
Coach, so let's talk about the running game, man, because Jeremy Cox, that big running back you got, man, I caught the fourth quarter of the game. I didn't catch the first three. I got to tell you, man, I was like, wow, this guy is an animal,
hey,
man.
Taz, that's completely unacceptable. Why were you not moving this game for all 4 hours?
No, I apologize, Coach. I was watching about 9 million games, and then and next thing I know, the hot topic is, hey, you got to watch Old Dominion. They're whooping. They're about to whoop. Virginia Tech, I was all over it, man.
Hey, apology accepted.
All right.
To the point about the run game, we knew we weren't going to be able to run the ball early in this game, and we didn't. We rushed for 50 yards at halftime, but the plan was if we can do enough in the pass game to get them out of the 9 box where they were in tight, which we did. They had to start playing coverage in the second half, and they went to more zone coverage, which that's not something Coach Foster likes to do. Then we were able to thin it out, get into more 4 wide receiver sets, and start to have some success running the ball. And then Jeremy Cox has been hurt most of the year. He's had a sprained ankle, which you guys know with a running back, that's really hard. He's back to about 80% now, and he looked like Jeremy Cox in the second half. He went 20 carries, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and he was breaking tackles in the fourth quarter.
We're talking to Bobby Wilder, a head football coach at Old Dominion, following their 49-35 victory over Virginia Tech this past weekend. One of the great storylines of week 4 of the college football season. You know, Coach, I asked you, when did you before the game, message to the team, when did you're sitting there on the sidelines, standing there on the sidelines, watching early on in this game, when did you as a coach, knowing football the way you knew it, think that, we're going to have a chance to pull off this kind of an upset?
Yeah, great question. It happened with about a minute 40 to go in the first half. We're down 14-7. Virginia Tech's got a first down on their own 45, and they run a double move on our freshman corner, Jaronda Hall, who's starting his first game. And Jaronda plays it and intercepts the pass. And now we've got the ball. We don't have any timeouts, but we got a minute 30 to go. We're on our own 20, and we go 80 yards, and La Russa hits Duhart for a touchdown with 7 seconds to go, and now it's 14-14, and the place sellout crowd is going crazy. What's going on? It's 14-14. We run off the field at halftime like we just won the game. We had so much momentum going, and Virginia Tech was kind of shaking their head at that point, and that's when I thought, if we can just hang in there with a shot in the fourth quarter, we're going to have an opportunity to win.
Yeah, so now, Coach, what do you got to do here, right? As a coach, you got to keep these 21-year-olds grounded, right? Because now you got to go on the road. You're playing the Pirates of East Carolina, which is going to be tough. So I'm sure you guys had your party, you had your good time, and I'm sure you spoke to them, bring them back down to earth a little bit, right? Because you got to get focused.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what was important about this? It was such a monumental occasion. This is arguably the biggest moment in the history of Old Dominion.
That's
University.
Awesome.
We're
That's
a
awesome.
Fairly young university. This is only our 10th year playing football. So for 24 hours, it was all about enjoy this moment. I talked to them about try to put this in a compartment somewhere in their brain where they remember their top 2 or 3 things that happened so they can visualize this for the rest of their lives. And,
wow, yeah.
And right after the game, guys.
Great message.
Hey, I'm not going to lie to you. After that game, I was in a student mosh pit for a good 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, I would
That's awesome.
Every ounce of enjoyment out of this I could.
Good for you,
man.
The
back of my head's still sore. I got hit with a cell phone. I'm trying to take a selfie. But we enjoyed all that.
That's awesome.
And then we got back together. We practiced Monday morning, and we had that 24-hour rule, and it was, look, we're underdogs again this week. We're going on the road at East Carolina, a team we've only played once. We haven't beaten, so we've got to get right back into it. But a lot of momentum and a lot of confidence from a win like this that hopefully carries over and keeps them feeling good about themselves.
And how do you use that kind of a win to not only get the team's feet back on the ground, but to build? You mentioned now going on the road, East Carolina, underdog once again. But clearly the potential is there. We've seen it. We've realized it. It's not a fluke that you beat Virginia Tech. How do you build upon that kind of a win, Coach?
Well, as the head coach, you go to every good restaurant you can in town and make sure you take full advantage because, you know, for the 3 weeks before that, there wasn't a lot of public appearances. But in all seriousness, now it's about this happened and it changed Old Dominion. We became more national. People are aware of who we are.
A lot of brand awareness for you guys, for recruiting and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a big part of it. Also for our alumni, a really proud moment. It's hard for me to quantify how big this win is because of Virginia Tech. It's Virginia Tech football. I mean, let's be honest. This is
a brand.
National program. Top 25 team for the last 25 years in a row. That's a big deal. Beating them. So it put us out there. A lot of people who didn't know about our program that they started to recognize us in 2016. We went 10-3 and won the Bahamas Bowl in only our eighth year, which is the earliest any team in the history of football has done that. Year 8, win 10 and a bowl. So that got our name out a little bit, but this one really captivated the audience. So for all our alumni, recruiting, our team, all of it, it's a really big moment that we're going to continue to try to capitalize on while we focus on the next game.
No, it's awesome, man. So, I mean, congratulations. Really, just amazing. Watching the end, towards the end of that game was awesome. A lot of fun to watch.
Well, it's always fascinating because you mentioned it, you know, there's always the time in the game, Coach, when you feel like, you know, you've got a shot to pull off the upset, the message that you had to your kids beforehand. I'm curious afterward, was there any kind of, after the mosh pit, after you got hit in the head with the cell phone, after all of that, because of who Vautech is, because of who Old Dominion is, mentioned only 10 years in, was there a moment, a special moment for you that you could relate to the audience in terms of whether it be with a player on the team, family, what have you, that really encapsulated what that victory meant for you?
Yeah, there were a couple of them, guys. It was probably, I'm guessing in real time, maybe 20 minutes after the game before I finally found my son, Derek, who's a linebacker on our team.
Oh, nice.
I just never saw him. We were both in different parts of the mosh pit, I guess. And then I had a moment where I hugged him because we moved here 12 years ago from Maine. I was the offensive coordinator there, and he was 10 years old.
And you played at Maine, right? You played up at Maine.
Yeah, I played at Maine. Yeah. Well, Derek grew up with this program. Our first ever game in 2009. We play at home against Chawan. It's the first time we've ever played football, and he's running out to get the tee for the kicker. So for him to be part of this, be on this team, beat Virginia Tech, you know, he started on all the special teams, to go from 10 years old picking up the tee to being part of history,
that was cool.
A special moment for he and I to share together. And then our president, John Broderick, athletic director, Wood Seelig, I asked them to come in the locker room after the game because – they made the decision to move us from FCS up to FBS, or we never play Virginia Tech. So that was pretty special. And then I think it was probably an hour and a half before I finally got done with everything after the game, the interviews and press conferences, and I turned my phone on. And you know how when you turn your phone on and you get some messages?
Yeah.
Well, it buzzed for probably 5 minutes. There were 400 text messages, about 10 voicemails. I mean, I have from friends of mine like Jim Harbaugh at Michigan and James Franklin at
Penn
State.
Nice.
Jeff Brohm at Purdue. And that's when it really hit me that this was a national story that really everybody was aware of it. I wasn't fully aware until that point how big it was.
Well, Coach, this is the time now, man, where you got to take advantage. Now you got to talk to the AD, the alumni, get yourself a new locker room for the boys, right? You know, you got to get a new weight room. You got to do whatever you guys need. Right. Now's the time. Some new helmets for the boys.
Right. That's exactly right. Hey, Coach, we really appreciate you taking a couple minutes and spending with us this morning. It was a wonderful scene. Congrats on the victory once again, and hopefully we get to chat with you again real soon.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. And anytime you want to come to this beautiful coastal Virginia region where Old Dominion is, be our guest. You're always welcome.
That's good, Coach. Thank you so much. Congrats again. That'd be awesome. Awesome, Coach. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Have a great day, guys.
Take care. Good luck this week.
That's Old Dominion football coach Bobby Wilder.
Good guy.
Great guy. Very, very good guy.
Sounds just type of guy that inspires you.
No doubt. I mean,
we need a guy like that on our show. Like, wish he had time to show up for our pre-show meetings.
Yeah, he's got bigger fish to fry.
You think so? He's got other stuff going on.
Yeah, he's got other stuff.
He's got the guys running on track.
No doubt.
Sprints, 300-yard shuttles.
He's a nice guy,
too. He's a good guy. Yeah,
well, how about that scene afterward with him and his son?
Oh, how nice.
After the fact that they moved down there from Maine.
Yep.
when his son was 9, 10 years of age, started out bringing out the tee for kickoffs.
That's awesome.
And that his son's a linebacker at Old Dominion and have the biggest victory, and he's playing on the team that his father's coaching, the biggest victory in the history of Old Dominion football.
That's really cool, man.
That's really cool. That is a really,
really cool,
really, really great moment between father and son.
They'll have forever.
His son will remember it forever. His father will remember it forever. I mean, that's how historic a victory it was. Because it's not just, and we, listen, it's because of who it's up against, Taz. And listen, I didn't grow up in Virginia, but I have a healthy respect of what Virginia Tech football means.
God, all the years, Beamer ball.
They're a brand, they're staple.
Yeah, man. They
staple,
were ranked 13 in the country at the time, and the Monarchs beat them 49-35.
Great win.
It was insane. It was awesome. Really
AB, good morning. Second time this morning.
Guys, good to see you again. This report is brought to you by Barbasol. After 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol is finally making razors. Well, that was a no-brainer. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with 6 ultra-thin blades. Save now at Barbasol.com. After a tie and a loss, the Steelers needed a win last night in Tampa Bay. And they got it, 30-27 over the Bucs, allowing Mike Tomlin to talk like Mike Tomlin.
Really appreciate the efforts. Made the necessary plays, really. Tip of the cap to a lot of people. All 53 in there fought. Fought through a week and came into a stadium primetime on the road and got a necessary win.
But only after nearly blowing a 20-point halftime lead, the Bucs committed 4 straight turnovers in the second quarter, leading to 24 Steeler points. It was 30-10 at intermission. Ryan Fitzpatrick with his 3rd straight 400-yard game, 3 touchdowns, but also 3 picks, one of them returned for points. Ben Roethlisberger, 353, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT in the victory. The torn ACL now confirmed for Niners QB Jimmy Garoppolo, and Rams corner Aqib Talib reportedly out at least a month with a high ankle sprain. Teammate Marcus Peters is questionable for Thursday with the Vikings with a calf injury. Not Ted Williams, not Carl Yastrzemski, not David Ortiz, not Rich Garcia. It's this collection of Boston Red Sox that set the franchise record for wins, 106 after a 6-2 final with the Orioles last night. Manager Alex Cora, impressed.
It's unreal. You know, like, you think about the history of the game and the history of this franchise, and to be part of this, I can't even explain it. Obviously, it's something that we should call timeout and enjoy this one.
The Red Sox also clinching home field through the World Series last night. The A's complete the AL playoff field. Now we see how everybody else lines up. The Rays 4-1 home loss to the Yankees gave Oakland its first berth in 4 seasons. The A's then won in Seattle 7-3. They're a game and a half behind the Yanks for home field in the wild card game. They're 4.5 behind the Astros in the division. The Dodgers staying a game and a half clear of the Rockies in the NL West. LA a 7-4 win in Arizona, while Colorado was thumping Philly at home 10-1. The Cardinals lost to the Brewers 6-4, so Colorado just a half game behind St. Louis for the second wild card, while Milwaukee gets within a game and a half of the Cubs in the Central. Chicago losing to Pittsburgh 5-1. And from college football, Clemson switching to freshman QB Trevor Lawrence for Saturday's showdown with undefeated Syracuse. Taz, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Tremendous update. Not really. Anyway, Le'Veon Bell is on the trade block for the Steelers. Who's called Pittsburgh for him? We'll get into that next. Taz Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Rich Ackerman. We're Phi Beta Kappa in college football, Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You like my shirt?
I do.
Yeah.
You're wearing the Taz and the Moose shirt for the first time.
Yeah, the one that no one can get. We have it. And it's not for the public. It's not for public consumption.
It is not.
Our team has it. You have one. I have one.
I do.
All of your family members have them. Almost.
No, not all of them.
I'm
my wife, yes.
Almost. People want merch from
they,
Taz
they
and the Moose
They do want merchandise. They do.
People want merch.
It finally came around and well wore it.
Well, I mean, people want us to sell it. And you know, we'd have to talk to the big bosses about that. It's not that simple, the process.
Well, it'd be great. We should be able to do that, though.
Probably no.
No, it's not going to happen.
Well, I don't know. We can, but then you got to work all business stuff out.
I understand.
No, I mean, are you interested in doing that?
Yeah, well, who's not interested in selling product?
Well, you know, maybe we wear the shirts on the radio for 2-3 years, and then there'll be more of a need, even though no one can see us wearing them because we don't have video.
Right. So well, that we could do maybe videos during the show. No.
Wearing the shirts?
Yeah. And posting on social media?
That's not a bad idea. We could do that.
Could do that.
We do such a great job with social media as it is, our whole team.
No doubt.
I'm wearing a shirt because I got attacked here by the members of the show that said, Taz, you never wear the shirt.
Well, I said it, yeah.
I mean, Mikey B said it too.
I doubt
offline,
it.
No, Mike, did you not say that to me? You did. Offline, he did.
I did.
Yeah. He did.
There you go.
He did.
Very nice.
Pretend Moose to ask you the question, then you could give a real long answer instead of a one-word answer.
Why are you so sensitive with that? That's not true. So you wore the shirt. Finally, it's only been 5 months.
Very handsome.
Well, thank you, sir. It's about building an expectation, a need, so I wait. And then I did the reveal before the show. I took my jacket off, as you saw. I was wearing a sports jacket, and I took that off.
It was the big reveal. It was great right before the start of the show.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, you people missed it.
We bet the over-under. Well, we didn't have it on video. You should have built it up.
Yeah,
our social media team would have recorded it, posted it.
No, they don't do that no more. Remember we used to do the after the... What was it called? During the dark, in the breaks? Remember
no, in
that
the
thing?
Shadows.
That disappeared. That lasted
a
week.
Because you couldn't get the name right. We were going over it, and we were calling it different things every day.
It was a long name.
That's not a long name.
In the Shadows?
It's not a long name. That's not a long
Got
name.
Over a little
but
bit.
But I'm glad it did. I'm glad you wore the shirt.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm glad you wore
cool.
the shirt.
Yeah. Your head's
Mikey
bigger
B
than
had Mikey B
shirt.
Had the October 1st as an over-under.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah.
It was laying good money, too. It was plus 140 on the under. It was minus 110 on the over.
Gambling Jones here.
So, I mean.
It was a dog.
Right, no doubt.
Same
yeah.
dog.
I didn't think
dog.
We'd ever see you wear the shirt.
Really?
So I took the over October 1st. I thought maybe during the holiday season, if Taz was looking to sell a little merchandise, but no, I took the over. So whoever bet the under won. Congratulations.
Well, every once in a blue moon, rarely, I will wear a Taz show shirt or a hat.
Yeah.
I don't wear a lot of Taz show stuff. You know that. Not much.
No, never.
Well,
never.
Last week you called me a walking billboard for the show.
Well, I was being sarcastic.
I know. So I felt guilty, and that's why I wore a shirt.
Well, I'm glad you wore it.
And, you know, maybe one day we'll have merchandise. People are asking. People want stuff. Maybe we got to talk to, you know our boss, Mark Chernoff, a lot longer than me.
I do.
Maybe maybe you could talk to him.
We should. We should have a conversation.
We have a meeting, like a post-production meeting next week or a week after that?
As long as it's not on a Tuesday, because I got to go right after the show.
Okay, I got to go.
Right after the show, I got to go.
Well, you know me. I hang around. Usually I hang around.
No, you do not. And if you think your head is smaller on that shirt than mine,
bro,
the head is the... Stop. Stop.
Well, you know, we got to give a shout-out
to
Joe, who drew this. Joe Marinick.
No doubt. Great.
He did a great job. A
big fan of yours. Big fan of mine. Yeah. We gave him props. He did a fantastic job.
It
is great artwork.
He did.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And our heads are the similar, same size.
They're close, but you might be right.
No, they are the same size on the shirt.
Give Joe a follow at Graphic with an X Joker. Give
That's
him a
it.
Follow. He's a good dude.
The three comes your way next. Thanks for wearing the shirt, Taz. We all feel better about it.
You got it, Haas.
There you go. Right. Thank you, pal. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.